Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Before we get into our topic, we just want to mention that Eric and I are going to be speaking at Shadow Mountain Church this evening. You have the information on that.
Yeah, it's going to be tonight and tomorrow night, Tuesday and Wednesday. We're doing Compassionate Boldness Symposium 2. We haven't done very many of these. This is a continuation from Symposium 1, but you don't have to have gone to the Symposium 1 to go to this. It's going to be at Shadow Mountain Church, which is 9324 South Holly Park Road. Holly is spelled H-A-W-L-E-Y, and the admission is free. We will be taking a love offering, but it's going to be 2 hours a night for the next two nights. You can go onto our website. If you didn't get that address, you're driving right now and you couldn't write that down, go to mrm.org, and the very top left calendar, you can go there and you can see what the address is.
That's going to be tonight and tomorrow night starting at 7. I better get that right so I'm there on time. 7 to 9. This is normally what we do on a Saturday morning, but to accommodate Pastor Corey Anderson, he wanted to have it over two nights. So we thought, hey, we could do that. We've done that before. So be glad to have you come out and see what we're doing. And you're going to notice that most of what you will see on the screen are taken right from LDS sources. And that's always very important. Another interesting milestone takes place this week, and it's been 1 year since our new, revised, updated, completely revamped, lots of bells and whistles edition of Answering Mormons Questions has been out.
Yeah, it's a book that you originally wrote back in the 1980s, and we've talked about this before.
On my kitchen table with a typewriter.
And it's amazing. It's amazing transformation over the years, the evolution of this book. But we put a lot of time and effort into this, and it has been out for a year. It's published by Kriegel Publishers. They did a revised version of this in March or April. Cleaned up a couple of mistakes that were in there. But this book, I believe, Bill, if somebody wanted to be able to share their faith in an effective manner with a Latter-day Saint, I think this book is a good book to have as a resource for the 36 questions that we answer that are common questions asked by our Latter-day Saint friends and family members.
Some wonder if it's a sequel to Mormonism 101. Of course, it wasn't meant to be, because when I wrote Answering Mormons Questions, Mormonism 101 wasn't even in my mind. That came about later on, that the work that you and I did in the year 2000. But I guess you can say that it's kind of a sequel to 101, because what we do in Mormonism 101 is we kind of give you an overview of what Mormonism teaches and the Christian position on some of these things. But then if you really want to get into a discussion with a Latter-day Saint, this kind of helps you to expect the questions that will probably be brought up in a conversation. And these are questions that we have actually heard when we are out in the field or talking with Mormons on the phone or through email and such like that. I think it is a big help to people.
We've done our best to distribute this book to all of the different public libraries throughout Utah. I think it was about 100 different editions that we have given away, and including, I think, the county library system here in the Valley has 7 or 8 copies, and I've checked every once in a while to see if they're being checked out, and there have been times where more than half of them are being checked out. So perhaps they're being read by who knows who, a student doing a report or somebody who's curious. We wanted to make that book available. You can get it yourself if you'd like to get a copy of this book. You can certainly get it at the Utah Lighthouse. They have it available. We have it available through our ministry here, or you can get it on Amazon.com, CBD.com, or anywhere where fine books are sold.
And we might mention that those books that were distributed to the various libraries, that was as a result of the generosity of Christians such as yourself that want to get the word out. Many times a Mormon will not buy a book that's not written by the church, that is about the church, but they will check out a book at a library and at least give it a look. And so that's why that was our strategy, to try to get it into as many libraries as possible. And as you've mentioned, that has been very successful. one of the chapters that we have in Answering Mormons Questions, and we'd like to spend some time this week talking about what the book actually contains. One of the chapters, though, deals with a response that we often hear from Mormons when they feel like their claim of Christianity has been challenged. And that is, they'll come back and they'll say, wait a minute, look at the name of our church. Doesn't the fact that Jesus Christ is in our church's name prove that we are Christian? Our answer very succinctly is, no, not really. That really doesn't prove anything because, for one, anybody can call a church any name they want. I remember when I was in Africa, I remember there were churches all along the sidewalks and on Sunday, and some of these signs were just handmade. And I remember one, it was the Church of the Holy Ghost Explosion. I don't know why I can't forget that. It just stuck out like that is the strangest name I've ever heard for a Christian church. I can only wonder what was being taught at that place, but the fact is, folks, here in the United States, you can incorporate a religious organization and you can call it anything you want. There's no restrictions. And just because it has the name Jesus Christ in it doesn't necessarily mean that that particular organization is teaching Christian doctrine or even that they have a correct understanding of who Jesus is. And let's be serious. There are a lot of strange ideas regarding the person of Jesus. And I would say that Mormonism is one of those organizations that does have some strange ideas regarding the person of Jesus. But in our book, we have response questions that we call them clarification questions, because sometimes when a Mormon asks a question, it's usually good to respond with a question just to make sure you understand very clearly why they are asking their question or what they really mean by the question. And so one of the questions we have as a response question is, would it matter if you knew that your church did not always have Jesus' name in it? Most Mormons, they're unaware that that's the case when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It was originally known as the Church of Christ.
That's what Doctrine and Covenants section 20, verse 1 says. Then in 1834, the name was changed to the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
And from what I understand, that was a unanimous decision. So it wasn't like only one person wanted to do it and nobody else did.
That was a priesthood. Yeah, that was a priesthood conference, and Joseph Smith was there.
So. He was there. So he was in on the name change. Now, mind you, in 1834, now the church is known as the Church of the Latter-day Saints. What's missing in that title?
Jesus Christ.
The name of Jesus Christ is missing. And now, if we're going to use this criteria that, hey, because we have Jesus' name in the name of our church, that makes us Christian, then we have to ask the question, well, then why isn't it in there in 1834? Why was it taken out?
And then in 1838, April 26, Joseph Smith claimed he had a revelation and was told to change it to the name that the church has today. So for 4 years, it did not have the name of Jesus.
As Christians, we wouldn't say that having the name of Jesus in the name of the church is all that important. I happen to attend a church that does not have the name of Jesus in the title. You happen to attend a church that does not have the name of Jesus in the title. So we're not saying that it's absolutely necessary. In fact, we don't even find that pattern in the New Testament. We don't find churches being called like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have, for instance, the both Thessalonian letters. Paul refers to them as the Church of the Thessalonians. Or in Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, he writes to the churches of Galatia. And in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, he calls the body of believers in Corinth the Church of God, which is in Corinth. No mention of Jesus in any of those church names.
This is why we don't find that kind of a test to be a real worthy test. Now, why would it be important to a Latter-day Saint? It could be because, as we mentioned on page 42 in our book, 3 Nephi 27, verse 8, the Book of Mormon actually says this, "And how be it my church, save it be called in my name? For if a church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel." Now that's interesting because notice it leaves that little out. It has to be built upon the gospel. So even the Book of Mormon recognizes that even though a church may have the name of Jesus, if it's not built upon the gospel, now, of course, we're having a definition difference here because what they view as the gospel, what we view as the gospel, is certainly very different. But even it understands that it better be correct, at least in their understanding of what correct is.
Well, and what do you do? There are fundamentalist groups who do have the name of Christ in their name, or even the Protestant denomination, the Church of Christ. Because it has the name of Christ in it, does that automatically mean that it is true? I think even the Latter-day Saint would acknowledge that it does not have the true gospel.
That would be the point that's being brought out in 3 Nephi 27:8. Yep. They would say, well, okay, yeah, it does have the name of Jesus in it, but we don't recognize the doctrines of that particular denomination. So that would not make it necessarily a Christian church in the true sense of Christian. And again, folks, you have to understand, even the word Christian seems to, by Latter-day Saints, have a very broad definition. Why? Because they want to make sure they're included in that definition. So they can be liberal with that title, but let's not be mistaken here. They have a clear understanding of what they think a true Christian church is and what a true Christian gospel is, and it's not what historically has been understood.
And we got into that issue with chapter one when we asked the question, why won't you accept Mormons as Christians? That title Christian is very important to us, but also to the Latter-day Saints. They want to be known as Christian.
What's interesting about this name change that you talked about earlier, Eric, is on page 44, we talk about how David Whitmer, who was one of the Book of Mormon witnesses, he actually said that he did not agree with the 1834 name change. He wrote, and we quote him, "In June 1829, the Lord gave us the name by which we must call the church, being the name as he gave the Nephites. We obeyed his commandment and called it the Church of Christ until 1834, when, through the influence of Sidney Rigdon, the name of the church was changed to the Church of the Latter-day Saints, dropping out the name of Christ entirely." Okay, if Sidney Rigdon was wrong, Joseph Smith went along with that error. David Whitmer did not agree with the name change, but it is a fact that at least for 4 years, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was known simply as the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. On Tuesday and Wednesday, October 29th and 30th, the Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 2, will be taking place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, beginning at 7 p.m. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will lay out the teachings of Mormonism and show the differences with biblical Christianity. Make plans to come on October 29th and 30th at Shadow Mountain Church, located at 9324 South Holly Park Road in West Jordan. That's Holly, H-A-W-L-E-Y. Come and be informed. Looking for a book on Mormonism? When you're in the Salt Lake City area, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is the place to go. Here, you'll find the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including Answering Mormons' Questions, written by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. In addition, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple in Salt Lake City. Okay.